Dear venerable sisters and brothers, Dhamma friends, we are going to start the today's question and answer session. As usual, we'll start with the written questions. We'll invite Lakshmi to present the question to start the session, please.
Thank you, venerable sir. We have 10 questions. I will be reading out 9, and I will invite the 10th person to come and talk to me afterwards. Question 1. Dear Bhante, I am from Mahanama tradition, and I am new to meditation in Sri Lanka.
Mahayana. Mahanama.
Mahayana.
Yeah.
I enjoy meditation here and I feel good. While I do walking meditation, my mind goes to future. How to meditate well in my country. Also, while I walk, sometimes I feel very quiet and no sounds around me. I feel relaxed. So I feel if the time could stop now. When I do sitting meditation, I start to count my in-breath and out-breath. But the moment I closed my eyes, I start to feel sleepy and start to see dreams. I have a question why we feel more sleepy during sitting meditation. Dear Bhante, I saw you also sleep during sitting meditation. Do you also see dreams? Please kindly explain me and guide me for my improvements. The second question is, why for the meditation retreat 10 days, not for 7 days, 14 days or 20 days and so on? Is there any special meaning? Thank you very much.
We have 5 days, 7 days, sometimes 14 days, but it's there in a single medium. So therefore, foreigners find difficult to participate. Otherwise, there's no special reason to confine this to 10. And the meditation is concerned, as far as you are aware, while walking I am not sitting, and while you are sitting, if you are aware that I am not walking, that is the best. So make sure, while you feel like sleepy in sitting and daydreaming or fantasizing future for the past, never mind. Meanwhile, how often can you verify that I am walking, that I am not sitting? While in sitting, maybe you are drowsy or sleeping or dreaming, but never mind. Don't try to be upset or inferior or self-complain. Just see how often I can be aware that I am sitting, not walking. So this is a simple task. You try to be friendly with your body. Don't try to put any technicality, any formulas, just 3. And when and where you are familiar with your posture, the more detailed thing, internal thing will come into being. Then you can go into detail. So at the beginning, you start very gross while sitting, while walking. Just be aware of the posture. And if it is increasing, good. If it is not increasing, if it is becoming more and more difficult to discriminate sitting and walking, that is something seriously upset. That's no answer. If you can see the difference, that's it. That's it. That's good. So therefore, make sure in your next writing, how do you feel while walking, how quickly, how often, how frequently you can be aware that I am walking, how frequently you can be aware that you are sitting, and then I know how to guide you further. So that is not indicated here. So, and the other one is, recently we translated the Mindful School book into Chinese, very simple essays, 40 essays. If you have, or if you are from China, or if you know this thing, I can pass you because it is still in the soft copy, not printed. Very simply, we are teaching the child at the grade 4, that's age 10, onward, how to be mindful while sitting, how to be mindful while walking, and repeating 8 times within 8 weeks. So, fairly, you can get an idea. So, please write again and again, then we can proceed. I just wanted to know is, while walking, are you aware that you are walking? While sitting, how frequently, how often you know you are sitting? Each and every time you have to understand you are making loving kindness to your body. Please add that into your report in time to come.
Most respected Bhante, walking meditation. I focus on the soles of the feet, the gross touch with the ground, labeling left, right. Then the perception becomes more detailed, how different parts of the soles from heel to toes touch the choir mat and some parts don't touch. The labeling stops. It feels like a pleasant, gentle massaging of the soles. Then this energy spreads through the legs up to the belly. These vibes feel unpleasant at the solar plexus, burning. Sadness comes. I go back to the soles of the feet, gross touch with the ground, then more detailed, starting the whole cycle again. The same I do when I start thinking. This cycle repeats several times. Later, the awareness goes to the lower leg, knee to toe, later to the whole leg, mindful of the movement. With time, sadness, fear, or thoughts are less strong when they arise, and it is easier to let go. While the body felt tense at the beginning, it feels more relaxed now. Sometimes there is no more body, only movement of the legs. So it feels more liquid or flowing than solid when dizziness comes. I focus on the soles of the feet again for stability. Please comment and advise. Thank you.
When you are walking, the particular part which is not touching is the what related to the reflection pertaining to the emotions. So when you are walking in the flat ground, when you are walking in the footwear, you never touch the arch. That's the place you are related to the belly, and that's the part related to the emotions and mental urge, or that's the seat of the emotion. So in our modern life, we never exercise them. Unless otherwise you walk on a sandy place, where sometimes this part, the arch area touch, and best thing is if you can massage it, it is called reflexology massage, and then you may feel almost like walking. So feel it. That is why you are highly recommended to go to the beach. And while walking barefoot, this part is touching. And if you are walking on the uneven ground, barefoot, these parts are quite touchy. If you can climb an arikana tree, that part will be massaged really. This is a small tree. So while you are climbing, this part is the one going to get the grip. We are not doing it. So we are complaining about the emotions and the depressions and all the kind of thing. And the latter part, it feels sometimes it is mind is sad and sometimes relaxed. And the day you feel both equal, that is what you call enlightenment. The sadness as well as the relaxation, these are two mental states. The day you feel both are the same, no one can disturb you. So practice to the point whereby the tension, the irritation and the relaxation both are the same. So that is the place we are now slowly reaching. So don't try to discriminate. If you get tense, then you get relaxed. When you get relaxed, you get tense. So don't discriminate them. Just see as two mental states. To the mind, both are the same. Don't put values. Don't put negative and positive marks. And let it happen. So that is what happened while you are advancing in the meditation. Look down irritation and the tension and the frustration or any negative points. You never look forward to have the relaxation. Because both are the same. Fame and the gain, pleasure and the pain, glory and the tarnished character, all are the same. So there in the writing you can see how much you give added value to this disappointment and tension and kind of thing, and how much you phrase the relaxation and kind of thing in vipassana, not for the other meditation, for the vipassana, you must practice and familiarize and frequently be with it. So much so, both appear like two mental states rather than black and white. So definitely I can bless you, you are on the way. Wherever you may be, you are on the way back home. Please do it happily.
Venerable Bhante, after the primary meditation object has disappeared, what does it mean to bring your attention back to the primary object? Please explain. Tirvan Saranai.
So make sure if that instruction is not to the person, those who see into the end of the primary object, then don't look for anything. Just go prepared for nothingness. While you are practicing with the primary object, view it in face-to-face, then if it is wandering, you know how to bring back to the primary object. If it is not there, and if you are sure that it is gradually reducing, it has never happened all of a sudden, then you know there's no object. Don't pull it back. Just be aware, the mindfulness is now, my mindfulness is now with nothing. So it is much better, that's why I quoted the teaching of the Buddha. He says, when and where the object is there, that's a sign of defilement. When and where object disappears, your definements are disappearing. Don't try to put anything into it. If you have number of objects, and if you have confusion, if you have entertaining doubts, then take the primary object as your refuge. Then take the primary object as your pivotal point, reference point, benchmark. So please make sure, in a retreat, I sometimes repeat it 100 times. But maybe my English is wrong. Maybe my presentation is wrong. So therefore, I find again and again the same question is being asked. I am repeating, as far as you are with the face-to-face with the primary object and then wandering happen, please bring it back to the primary object. If the objects are disappearing, don't put anything, just let the machine into autopiloting. We are going to go to the next question.
Most venerable Bhante, please can you explain the sloth and torpor? Is it like a sleepy or emptiness of mind? Thank you.
So that is why that is a very qualitative statement. When and where mind goes without object, it slacks. Body slacks. Sometimes head is bending. And this is a very clear sign your energy is not enough. So in the last conference, the Venerable Rahula from America, he specifically addressed into this situation. He says, when and where the object is disappearing, just try to keep your posture straight. Otherwise, it is slackening happen. So this slackening is due to sleepiness or due to lack of objects. Very difficult to discriminate. Venerable Jnanarama used to say, when and where that sleepiness awakened into the primary object, then it is not a sleepiness. It is lack of objects. Mind is not bewildered. Mind is not with doubt. If it is awakening into the posture or awakening into the primary object. But if you are sleepy, sloth and torpor, whenever you wake up, mind is complaining, self-critical. You don't know where it was. And even now, it's difficult to bring it to the posture, difficult to bring it to the primary object. So if you wish to make sure in a vague way, please report when at the end of the sleepiness, whether you have come back to the primary object or you are bewildered. Then there is a clue. If it is to the primary object, it's not a sleepiness. If it is coming to the bewilderment, maybe. There may be. So you have to report the whole episode. Then we can have a clue. Otherwise, this question is remaining throughout.
Venerable Swami Mahansa, I decided to report on this particular sitting because this one was quite different from the others. This time, when I sat for the meditation, the usual flux that I was accustomed to was not experienced. After a few minutes of sitting, even though my sensation of the breath had disappeared, the body sensations didn't disappear as it used to. I sat there for a few minutes, a bit frustrated and nervous, but then I recalled you mentioning about the impermanence of the meditation object. I put my disappointment aside and thought of welcoming this new experience. So I took my attention to my body. After a few minutes, my body became very restless. I was sweating from head to toe. I felt vomitish. I felt I could not take it anymore. I wanted to get up, but an inner voice kept saying, "Are you giving up? Where is your determination?" I forced myself to sit for a few more minutes, about 10 minutes. Then I got up and went for walking meditation. I felt like a drunkard. I could not walk straight. After about 10 minutes of walking, I went back to sitting. The earlier observations were still there, this time even more vividly. I sat there for another 10 minutes, observing my restless body. This experience has made me more humble, and surprisingly, I feel lighter and happier since that. Thiruvan Saranai.
Three examples cited by the commentators. This is a new person going into the sea with a small dinghy boat. So whenever you climb into the boat and it is floating, you feel unstable. So you feel vomitish. It's called sea sickness. And whenever you go into the sea, after the 5 miles, you can see the land. And after you lose the sight of the dry land, you get completely sick because your reference point lost. So likewise in the meditation also, first to lose the primary object, or specifically the discrimination between in-breath and out-breath, the discrimination between the rising and falling, the discrimination between the left leg and right leg. And still, some or the other, you manage with your posture. And in sitting, sometimes you lose the posture also. Then seasickness happens, vomitish. You can't be there. Exactly the same thing happens when you are going to the thicket of the forest. After a while, you lose the direction. Unless otherwise you have a GPS and kind of this, so you completely get bewildered. It is called in Pali, Disamaru. Your mind orientation disappears. And the third example is when you are going to a desert. You have novelty idea to go into. But when you go in the middle of the desert, every direction is the same. Unless otherwise you have stars. Night you can just see. Otherwise you get lost. That is the places where you have the ghostly beings and bewilderment, mystics, everything happened because mind become disoriented. So exactly the same thing happened in Vipassana. So how can we invite people to do Vipassana? They go mad. So Venerable Dhammika was the person taught me. Later he told, I am not teaching because it is sending people mad. Just like they go into the deep sea, or they go into the desert, or they go into the forest. So much of attraction for the egotistic thinking, self-motivated thinking. So we have reference points, the breath, the body, all the kind of thing, ultimately everything is washed off. Where are you? Who am I? What are the boundaries? Moment the boundary goes, you feel vomitish. You feel disoriented. So that is the point. You can see the bhavatanha, how it is finding, searching for a reference point to get an establishment. So our whole life and the worldly knowledge is to get that anchorage, get that reference point, get that benchmark, that is what we call the fame, gain, money and everything. So when you renounce and come here, at last you have your body and at last you have the breath. And when they are disappearing, so you have to say Allah, you have to say the cross, oh Allah. But unlucky enough, in Buddhism there is no such a person. Buddha is not the refuge for you. Buddha wanted to completely send you macerated, evaporated, and then see what happened. So 50% go to Nibbana, 50% go to the asylum. See, day by day I experience it. I wonder why I am not going to the asylum. It's due to your presence, due to the people of man presence, I get my reference point. So therefore go prepared. You have no GPS. You have no any orientation. You are just going. And the point is, you feel fear. You feel uncertainty. You lose boundaries. So Eric Fromm is writing, the fear of freedom. Fear of freedom. When the freedom comes, it appears like no boundaries. So you feel vomitish. You feel nauseating. You feel allergic reactions. So if you go to a psychiatrist, he will consider you as a full-fledged patient. Or if you go to the physicists, general physician, oh, definitely, they will find at least your enzymes are not upset. Or your insulin is upset, or your resistance system is upset. Sure, upset. So they will give medicine to kill you. So they will be just face. If you wish to do something in this life, this is a kind of a challenge. But it is not a must. Don't invite anyone to come and meditate. No problem for generosity, no problem for the sila sikha, no different fear for the samadhi sikha. But if you are going to go to vipassana, this is what happened. So in Sri Lankan, there's one film for the children, and it is Vata kotu bami neti muraka val neti apema apema apeloa. No boundaries, no cages, no imprisonment. That is our children's life. Please come into our life. Elderly people lose it, this thing it has a lost. They have prepared so much of recognition. So much of identity, so much of banks, so much of insurance, so much of fame gain. So when they are disappearing, vomitous feeling is very, very light one, mild one. Therefore, day by day you are hardening, preparing for this final gain. So if you wish, you can continue. So therefore, anyone doing continuously is praiseworthy. You have to pay respect. It is not a joke. It is such a challenge. So more you practice, more you get immunized. So I will sing. ඇත කොටු බැමි නැති මුරකාවල් නැති අපේම අපේම අපේ ලොවක් එන්න යාළුවේ අපිත් එක්ක සෙල්ලම් කරා. That I can say, but I don't say, I can't invite you to meditate. I simply safely I can say, be mindful. That is fair enough. But I have never called, please come and meditate, because it's sending this much of no boundaries and no, it's a unknown. It's called fear of unknown, fear of freedom, neophobia. That is called Bhavatanha. So we will deal further in our discussions, in the talks.
Most respected Bhante, sitting meditation. Primary object is raising, falling, which I mainly feel at the belt and clothing. How tightness comes and goes. It is a fight to keep the one-pointedness. Therefore, I make the experiment to let my mind go freely. Most prominent becomes the wobbling. Then all kinds of objects, sounds, physical sensations, breath, thoughts, all equal. Now the body relaxes, while it was getting more tensed, as I was trying to stay one-pointed with rising and falling at the beginning of the sitting. I need to go through a few layers or waves of tension before the open awareness becomes stable for some time. This tension is felt behind the eyes. If I stay closely with it, as soon as it starts, it dissolves before it can lead to a physical reaction, i.e. squeezing of the eyes and tension through the whole body. With time, the space behind the objects or maybe the gaps between them also come into the picture. There are moments with no awareness. I observe them as of two different kinds. One, falling asleep and being woken up by a sound rather abruptly. Two, unconsciousness, of which I seem to come out with no outer influence, and after what body and mind feel deeply relaxed. Also, after, when thinking happens without really being involved or aware of it, I automatically come back to open awareness, very relaxed. This relaxation doesn't happen with other objects in this specific way. Please comment and advise. Thank you.
This one also, last one also the same. Amidst of so much of uncertainty, relaxation happens. It's unbelievable. But the content is concerned, tension and relaxation, physical and mental. And the day you become equal, relaxation and the tension, mental and physical, then you find energies. Everything is energy. You give different names. So if you wish to see the common character of the tension and the relaxation, you must have equipoise mind, choiceless awareness, and even the suspended attention. Then when the label disappears, it's exactly the same. Exactly the same. Just like the earth element appear like the heaviness and the lightness. Both are called same name. Air element, movement, and the steadiness. Both are called air element. Heat and cold, named by heat element. They are the same. The tension and the relaxation, exactly the same. Just let the perception dissolve by repetitive application, repetitive observation, then you find it's a kind of energy. By our upbringing, by our culture, we put names, different names. They are the culprits. Soon you name, you get engaged or you get committed. So you must learn the art not to put a label, not to get carried away by the perception. So let it happen again and again. So that is appamada, diligence. Let it happen. The Buddha says the tension or frustration never defile you. Only your reaction to that is the one defiling you. So therefore, not to have a reaction, but to have more frequent acquaintance with the relaxation and tension, this is called noble quest. Let it happen again and again. When it is happening, hardly you can see any progress. But there's a progress. The sign for that, the early sign of that progress is you are relaxed. Tension happens, relaxation happens. Tension happens, relaxation. You know it's happening, but overall you are relaxed. But there may be another person, he is practicing tension and relaxation, but utterly tense. Both possible. And the very person reporting relaxation, next day will be tensed. So let these cycles to take place. And ultimately, you will be getting a distance, not from the object, but from the perception, the labeling, and then you are released. No one can pass one's knowledge to the other by book knowledge or by other merits. You have to practice yourself. Each time you practice, you become less and less egocentric or ego trip. You just do experiment for the sake of experiment. Hardly you can note any progress, but there is a progress. So therefore, this practicing itself is praiseworthy. Practicing for what? You can't define. With the tension and the relaxation, you appear both the same. So it is not chasing behind any fame, gain, money, nothing. Opposites. You let the opposites to take place. Don't let the opposites to take you for a ride. Mind you, there is a middle. The day you give the equal attention to the opposites, extremes, there may be a chance you to come back to the center. And when you come to the center, the inflicting nature of these things will be reduced. So please continue.
Sitting meditation, Sarvan Sarnai. The awareness is on the breath, trying to discriminate certain attributes. Yet, whenever an attribute of the breath is discovered, like length, temperature, or location, it dissolves. The breath as a whole dissolves into a movement of light. The awareness then rests on the movement of this light. Sometimes a very slight feeling of air touching the right nostril shines through. Thoughts arise, specifically sense desires or planning for the future. The awareness is on them after a few seconds and then returns to the breath made out of light. When compared to before, the thought distraction, there are certain changes in the location and movement of the light. Then there is a feeling of pressure. With it comes the perception of a form. This abstract form feels threatening and fear arises. I try to return to the primary object but cannot locate it. I then use tantric methods, calling a protector deity. It dissolves the abstract form. Later, a more pleasant form arises. I can observe myself communicating with it. But this is not who I am. I am just aware. Tiruvan Sarnai.
That's all the time we try to find a reference point. We are searching for a pivotal point, a benchmark. So you reach this point by taking the breath as the benchmark, and the breath is disappearing. Disappearing means that the discrimination between in-breath and out-breath disappeared. You feel like the breath disappeared. Then you search body, light, sounds, many, many things. But each and every time you focus because of your mindfulness, that particular thing dissolves just like a laser beam. If you focus to anything to the laser beam, it disintegrates. So then you develop an atmosphere, uncertainty, baselessness. So there your ego-centric bhavatanna is maximum at the trick. Play all the kind of tricks. Some or the other, try to find a reference point. Each and everything you find, they be unbecoming, changing, utter suffering. Utterly suffering, because earlier you was happy because you have had some mind-made reference points. Now everything is disproving. So you are disproving your null hypothesis, and to the point, no more base can find. Still mind is not happy to accept it. Because of bhavatanna, the existence. You wanted to have some current concept, the existing thing. So let the mind to play all and everywhere with all nooks and corners. Whatever you are going to present, few moments time, it disappears. The day you accept I can live without bhavatanna, that is your mindset is now ready for this kind of a new dimension, new shift of the paradigm. So only by doing, you are under the nose experience only you can do. But if you have any kind of a desire for the life and the body, definitely it will talk longer time. So theoretically you can say, I offer my life and the body to the Buddha or Dhamma or Sangha or to my precepts, and then feel to give up at the beginning and let that uncertainty take place. And fearfulness, no boundaries, no label. Of course, if you have paid the electricity bill, you see lights. Otherwise, you may see sounds, you may hear sounds, they may come out with any sound or silence. Some people may see, experience lightness, not the electric light or that kind. So everything is single energy. You put different names. Moment you give names, they collapse into light or collapse into lightness or collapse into a sound, whatever it may be. But later that also will disappear. It is universal energy. That's called cosmic energy. They have no centralized. They are just ocean. You can't locate. So therefore it is called non-local. So in that area you try to find self, myself. There is no such. Even on theoretical ground our mind is not ready. And the moment your senses are coming to being, again the center happens. The pivotal point happens. The critical point, benchmark happens. So this is, you find an alternative to this sense-based, egocentric thinking and to the consciousness not related to senses and some kind of a new door opening, window opening to your mind. And you have to keep on continuing to the date where that not egocentric situation is your second home, second nature. So this sense-based one is completely artificial, bewildered. The day you become prepared for this nonsense, not egocentric idea, as my norm, no boundary situation is as my norm, as my real home, no tension can happen. No frustration can happen because it is non-local, beyond time. So you have to go like an astronaut outside the orbit and again come back to the gravity. Again go outside, again come back to the gravity. So when you are coming back, very dangerous. When the shuttle is coming from the no air to the air atmosphere, 6 miles above, you never think the friction between the shuttle and the air is bursting. So if it come perpendicular, it will burst. If you come horizontal, it will kick off to the space. So it has to come with the degree, hundreds to the 100 point, it must be accurate, 6 degrees, just turning inside. And then only the shuttlecock can survive. Even the outer coccyx is burning. So when you go home, that will happen. Not from this no gravity situation to go into the gravity situation. Either you will burst or family members will burst. That will be very, very sharp when you go back. How to merge with them. Go with the 6. Of course, it is 6 is not the exact number. They say to the 100th degree, it must be sharp. Otherwise, you are going to burn. So, going into meditative life and come back, sometimes you get jerks. This is the jerk. So, you become astronaut and becoming a pilot. And then you become a driver. So when it is happening, you never feel the heaviness of the air. It will be like air here, but it's the thickest. It's the deepest. We are at the bottom of the ocean of air. This is happening at the topmost area. Even the friction is burning. So, therefore, going to the egoless situation and come back to the ego, always you assuming is kind of a jerk. Always electric, always like a lightning. So you must train it in a such a way that become normal. Go there and come back. Again go there and come back. Tadpole becoming a frog. Tadpole is a water animal. And when it grow, it become a frog. And you can go out and come back. So it says all the frog jumped into the old pond, plop. That is Nibbana. The frog jumped into the old pond, plop. No system, no method, this is just electric. So when it happens, you have to familiarize again and again at the cost of your desire for the body and desire for the life. So that is why it has become very, very grave thing. But this is how it happens slowly, slowly. So if you wish, you can harden yourself. Into the situation, going out and coming back, appear like just simple thing, just like in-breath and out-breath.
Dear Bhante, can you please talk a little bit about mindfulness at the moment of death? Buddha Saranai.
Very difficult because one particular sutta, Buddha is known as Sotanudhata Sutta. He says, while you are living amidst of all multitasking and responsibilities, if you listen to the mindfulness sutta, and dhata is keep in your mind, that is the most important thing in our life. And sutta dhata parichita. And then why people are not doing it? Then you have to reason it out. That parichita, chitta, sutta dhata parichita, Manasanu pekita. You take little time and try to leave everything out and might be mindful. And then the day you feel, very good, it is no tension, no frustration, then you adjust your life. To adjust life into maximize the mindfulness. And then you understand the whole worldly luxury is to make you eccentric, not to bring to the mindfulness. Therefore, whole knowledge, world knowledge is a shit. To be mindful, you need no any knowledge. Even a young child can be. So if the mind is refined up to that level, the Buddha says, even the death happened, desperately, even if you caught up into the tsunami, you will be going to a better place. Because your mind is well trained. Soon you go there, you will check back, how come that in such a disturbing situation, how mind selected a better place? Then the Buddha says, Satuppada, you realize the last life, I allocate my best of my time for my mindfulness. So mindfulness was at helm, at the steering wheel, it knows what to do. So therefore, the Buddha advised the Prince Rahula, of course the monk Rahula, so if you master the in-breath and out-breath up to the point where each and every in-breath and out-breath is accountable, even your last out-breath at the death happened mindfully. Charimaka passasati janatova nirujjanti. You know now, through two mindfuls, through two in-breaths time I am ceased, exist. And one mindful, one breath time finish. So, 5, 2, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you go. Otherwise, you are waiting, you have no time to give the property to the children and put the signature to the checkbook and writing. Everything is come and disturb you. That you prepared, our own gaman karma, how do you call that counting from 10 to 0? That will happen. And now you know, 5 breaths time I go to say tata. Thank you for going.
Gauravaniya Swamin Mahansa, you mentioned in a Dhamma talk, not to expect anything from practicing mindfulness. Is it wrong to wish, may this effort to meditate be helpful in understanding Dhamma to attain Nibbana? May the Noble Triple Gem bless you.
If the Dhamma is going to helpful, the Dhamma teachers in the university must be enlightened. They are teaching PhD, MPhil, MSc, everything, but they never lose even their jealousy. So therefore, if that is the Dhamma, better not to have it, because it is disturbing you. So therefore, we have to define Dhamma. Dhamma is the nature. So for some of this, Buddha recognized this is useful, so it is called Tripitaka. But the Suvapaka, Sunida, the young children met the Buddha, they had no any kind of understanding. But they were mature enough, they were there. So therefore, many teachers are finding fault with Dhamma, but to Pandita Sayadaw says, but you are skillful, even you have so much of theoretical understanding, you can make not to disturb into the mindfulness. With knowledge, you just leave it aside, and while practicing mindfulness, you practice like a beginner. If you know that art, knowledge will not disturb. Otherwise, naturally it is disturbing.
Venerable Sir, the last written question, I will invite the person to speak to me because I don't get enough information to gauge whether the person is even clear about the primary object and there is no information on it being presented to you.
So if it is so, please give the basic instructions to renew it, because now we have spent 4 or 5 days. So usually it is better to give another chance for the basic instructions. So otherwise you can look into these video clips prepared for the Satipasala. Mindful walking and mindful sitting. That will brush you but with your all knowledge, or otherwise basic that instruction tape would do.
I think maybe it's just the way the information is presented. It may be even an experienced person, but just, you know, various other things being said.
Hope you will not miss the person.
I'll direct them to your talk. Venerable Sir, do we have a little time for verbal questions now?
Yeah.
So I invite people to ask their verbal questions.
No question. It is not a question. So this is the end of the question and answer session. We are going to have almost 1 hour for walking meditation. Thank you very much for participation.